This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Any other show, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app to the top, talking about the importance of this World Series for Aaron Judge and his Yankee legacy. Hey, winning the World Series MVP would be pretty cool. In fact, I was doing some studying last night because I did make a bet, you know, full disclosure, I made a bet in the state of New Jersey that Luke Weaver would win the World Series MVP.
Dream Weaver.
Yeah. Because the odds were stupid. Like, right. It's just like, I got to do it. It was 200-1 odds. And so Tiki gave me a sobering thing yesterday because he's like, Ev, there haven't been a lot of closers that have won the World Series MVP.
Yeah,
cool. I happen to think of two of them off the top of my head because they were Yankees.
Right.
Mariano Rivera in 1999 and John Wetland in 1996. But Tiki points out, bro, there's only been two authors other than that.
Right.
So last night I was going through World Series MVPs because they are easy to forget when your team isn't involved. And what I learned with this exercise is, it's not usually the superstar. So last year it was Corey Seager. Totally give you that.
Right.
The year before was rookie shortstop Jeremy Peña, who was awesome. He actually won it in the ALCS as well against the Yankees. But when you think about that, Jeremy Peña winning the World Series MVP is on a similar level to, let's say, Anthony Volpe winning the World Series MVP, right?
Yeah.
Shortstop, pretty good, young, and yeah, I guess.
Right.
In 2021, Jorge Soler won the MVP. That would be the equivalent to me of Jazz Chisholm or Tommy Edman winning the MVP because we're talking about a July trade acquisition.
Yeah.
Right? In 2019, it was Steven Strasburg. So now you think to yourself, okay, the big ace.
Right.
Gerrit Cole. I don't think the Dodgers have a big ace. I mean, Jack Flaherty, okay. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, give me a freaking break.
My wife now loves Jack Flaherty.
Why?
Because he was adopted.
Oh, okay.
And he wanted to quit baseball.
Really?
When he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom, adopted mom, came up to him and said, you can quit as long as you tell your younger brother that it's okay to quit when things get hard.
Oh, man.
And so he kept playing.
Don't do this stuff.
And then after they won the CS, there's a picture of him standing on a chair before he goes and celebrates, hugging his mom. So my wife is like, oh my God, I love this guy.
I don't like that you did that because now you humanized him.
I know.
You know why I didn't like Jack Flaherty?
My bad.
You know why I didn't like Jack Flaherty?
I was the same way until Tracy showed me this morning. Yeah, I was like, damn it, no, I got to like this guy.
See, I don't like these personal stories. I never liked Jack Flaherty for something so childish and stupid. Which I'll tell you what it was.
Go ahead.
He called me stupid on Twitter. Yeah, true story.
Were you being stupid?
I was giving a strong opinion about the MLB lockout, and Jack Flaherty thought my opinion was uninformed.
Oh.
And I told him he's wrong.
Oh.
And that's how our conversation ended.
So who was right?
Me.
Okay.
I'm not some selfish ball player. Oh, no, I'm around a ball player. It's probably like, shut up. Put it this way. Let me clean that up. I think Jack and I had very different perspectives on said MLB lockout.
I'd love it.
In 2018, Steve Pierce won the World Series MVP. What would that be the equivalent to? I mean, what's the equivalent of that? Even in 2015, when Salvador Perez won it for Kansas City, like, Salvador was still a young player at the time. He was probably the Royals' fifth-best offensive player. And then, look, David Ortiz won it in 2013. So you've got examples of, like, the stars, but I think more times than not, it's not the star. It's someone that you're kind of forgetting.
Yeah.
You know? So in the Yankee case, that's why Luke Weaver's so perfect. Because Boone's going to have to use him every day, man.
It's funny. It used to be the star, though.
Did you go back further?
Yeah. So you go back to, like, the Whitey Fords and the Koufaxes and the Gibsons.
Going back that far.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at the guys that were Hall of Famers.
Right.
Like, the Hall of Famers that were also World Series MVPs.
Gotcha.
And so it kind of stops after Big Poppy. right? I mean, it was there during the Yankees runs.
Yankees, Mariano won it. Jeter won one. Yep. Randy Johnson and Schilling both won it in 2001.
Right.
Johnson is, Schilling should be. That's
right. And then
story.
The last one was Ortiz in 13. But nobody else, I mean, obviously, they're probably still playing some of these guys, but.
Yeah, but you know what's funny?
It doesn't feel like these are Hall of Famers.
No, I completely agree with you. So, like, Madison Bumgarner has had a great career. He's not a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm sorry, he's just not. Not to get into that argument, but he's not. Ben Zobrist isn't. George Springer won't be. Steve Pierce isn't. Steven Strasburg isn't. Corey Seager, we'll see. I think he absolutely can. Jorge Soler isn't. Jeremy Pena, too young to tell. So you're kind of right. It's not really a Hall of Fame award, but boy, if you get it. It just...
yeah, it just adds the extra cherry on top of the cherry.
No question. Matt's calling from Staten Island. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
We're good, Matt.
Good, what's up?
All right, so I wanted to bring up something you guys brought up a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
You were talking about Giancarlo Stanton and when he wasn't running hard, and you guys weren't able to pinpoint when they should tell him to go all out or not.
Yes.
And I think after looking at the last couple series for the Yankees, I think I figured it out. Giancarlo Stanton is such a dominant player when he's hot that you have to leave him. The only time that you tell him to go all out is in two situations. One, where you could eliminate the other team and win a championship, or if your back is against the wall and you might not be advancing to the other round, to the next round.
You're talking all.
Other than that,
and you're talking
Giancarlo, trot down to first.
And Matt, you're talking all postseason. All postseason.
Because he's that good.
And you're talking only in the postseason, right?
Only in the postseason.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think the regular season's already been ruled out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The point I brought up a few weeks ago, and it's actually really interesting when you think about it, is we've now accepted that Giancarlo Stanton does not run hard, not because he's lazy, but because he's being told, hey, there's a lot of risk to you getting hurt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a ground ball to shortstop that maybe you beat out if you run really hard, but you could also blow up your hamstring. And my question was, now that you're in the postseason, does there come a point? Maybe it's the sixth inning of a tie game in game three where you say, all right, balls to the wall, bro. And it's interesting because in the division series, especially now as we sit in World Series Eve, feels so quaint. Really? You're going to tell them to run hard in game three against the Royals? That's adorable.
Well, it depends on, I think Matt was right. It depends on how the series is going.
Right. If you're down in a series, which, by the way, the Yankees have never been.
Yeah.
The Yankees have not faced that kind of adversity in this postseason.
Right. So just hit home runs.
That's it. Just mash.
Yeah.
But
jog around the bases and walk back to the dugout. That's all you got to do, Giancarlo.
But in this series, if you're up 3-2, Dodger Stadium, bases loaded, one out, Yankees are down by a run. Elimination game.
Yep.
You win the World Series. You lose, there's a seventh game. Bases loaded, one out, down by a run, ninth inning. We good? We got the situation? Giancarlo hits a chopper to short. And they're trying to turn two, man.
Bust the hamstring. Rip a groin.
Tommy Edman flips to second. Gavin Lux sees the runner bearing down on him. And Lux is like, I'm going to throw to first. If you're Giancarlo, you're saying, bust that hamstring.
100%.
Okay. Oh,
or then, run directly at the fielder and scare the crap out of him.
Then it would also set up a monumental moment in Game 7. Because then he wouldn't start.
He'd be Kirk Gibson.
He'd do the Kirk Gibson to the Dodgers, limp out of that dugout for a big at-bat in Game 7.
That's still one of the most unbelievable moments.
It really is.
You can think of.
It really is. And what people forget about that is it was Game 1. There were still four other games to be played.
Right.
And no one remembers it. That World Series is literally defined by one game.
Yep.
And Kirk hit the home run. I can't believe what I just saw. You see him pumping his arm very awkwardly. And
it just wasn't a cool celebration.
I know. And the truth is, as everybody in New York knows, even me, too young to know, he shouldn't have even been in that situation because the Mets should have won the pennant that year. And this year, it should have been the Mets against somebody else and not the Dodgers against the A's. That's for damn sure. We'll come back with more of your phone calls at 888-808-1019. Plus, I unveiled to you a conspiracy theory that you will believe because it checks all the boxes concerning the greatest head coach in the history of football, Bill Belichick. Plus, more talk on this Yankee World Series and the futures of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane.
Third-party services. Other terms apply. See stores for details.
Football is back, and I'm bringing you the tailgate must-have. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part, no bubbles, zero carbonation, so you can tailgate like a champ. Ask for it at your local bars and liquor store. Must be 21 years of age. Please drink.
drink. Whenever water damage strikes your home or business, call on the cleanup and restoration specialists at 1-800-SERV-PRO to help make it like it never even happened. That's 1-800-SERV-PRO.
Franchises are independently owned and operated.
As the football season rolls on, there's never a dull moment or a shortage of thrills in this league. But thrills are nothing new at Bay Ridge Mazda. Tired of that clunker you've been driving? Just bring it into Bay Ridge Mazda for up to $2,000 over book value all month long. And time is now to make a trade. Head over to the place where everybody wins, Bay Ridge Mazda. Located on 4th Avenue and 90th Street, or buy your car direct at BayRidgeMazda.com and have it delivered to your door. That's Bay Ridge Mazda, 4th Avenue and 90th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
WFAN, WFAN.
Welcome, everybody, to a new national holiday here in New York City, World Series Eve. Because we are a little bit more than 24 hours away from Yankees-Dodgers for the first time in a World Series since 1981. It is the World Series we've seen the most, even if I've never seen it before in my life. Same with Tiki.
Right.
It's the most common World Series in the history of sports, or in baseball, and we haven't seen it. You got to be over the age of, I would say, to remember it, you got to be over the age of 50 to remember it. Because obviously 1981, Yankees-Dodgers was the last time they played. They played 11 times. And I'll tell you something very interesting about Yankees-Dodgers. In fact, you'll tell me if it's interesting.
Go ahead.
If you go back and look at their regular season, because obviously we have this funny thing called interleague play now. They have played in the regular season 22 games. The all-time record between the Yankees and the Dodgers in those 22 games
11-11.
Is 11-11.
Of course. Of course, it is.
Are you ready for this breakdown I read on the internet the other day? I wish I could tell you I did this research.
Right, never lies.
In their last two games, Yankees-Dodgers 1-1. In their last four games, 2-2. In their last six games, 3-3. In their last eight games, 4-4. In their last 10 games, 5-5.
There's no
in
way.
In their last 12 games, I'm fact-checking it. In their last 60 games, 30-30. In their last 50 games, 25-25. They have been so incredibly even when they have faced each other.
So it doesn't make sense that they're going to win in five.
Yeah, I think that shows you, if you follow that, which probably means nothing, you are looking at a seven-gamer. You're looking at one that goes the distance. That's for sure. And it's funny, the Yankees have beaten the Dodgers 8 out of 11 times. And that sounds like, wow, the Yankees have owned them. Well, the reality is the Yankees owned them when they played in New York City back for the very first time in 1941, when they played in the World Series for the very first time. And that, of course, is when Mickey Owen failed to catch the strikeout, the pass ball, the whole thing. You're familiar.
Right.
Tiki's like, what?
Sure.
What happened?
Tell me the story.
I'll tell you the Cookie Lavagato story. That story's something else.
Who's Cookie Lavagato?
Are you ready for this? Bill Blevins.
What a name.
I know, right? Bill Bevins or Bill Blevins was about to pitch a no-hitter. Okay? I'm not even kidding you. Up 2-1 in the ninth inning. One out away from a no-hitter, but he had walked like 15 guys.
Right. So he wasn't perfect. He was just kind of all over the place, but not giving up hits.
Cookie Lavagato hits one down into the right field corner. Game-winning hit, breaks up the no-hitter, ends the game, Dodgers win. then they lost the series anyway, so it didn't matter.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a cool story, though.
No, dude, Yankees-Dodgers is unbelievable if you
That's
go back
like
to
being
them.
Being almost great, but not even close to it.
Pretty much, yeah. It's called being great in the 40s. It's very different than being great in the 2020s. But even when the Dodgers lost to the Yankees 8 out of 11 times in their history of World Series meetings, the game totals were actually still very close, 37-29, because there were a lot of seven-gamers in there, a lot of close ones. And since the Dodgers moved to L.A. and they've met each other in the World Series, 11-11. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
So it's...
This has been destined for a lot of years.
It's been destined, and they're even.
Well, and it kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
They both have strengths. They both have weaknesses. They both have superstars. They both have guys who are underperforming. It's everything. Guys have gotten old who are stars in a sense, but it makes for a compelling World Series, and it makes you feel like there's a script sometimes, even though I don't think that there is.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that Fox canceled its order for the Citi Field and after game three of that NLCS.
Yeah, we revealed that information.
You're right.
Very conspiracy-like.
It's conspiracy-like, but it was right.
Yeah.
So maybe they just were ahead of the game. But, I mean, it's what makes this series so compelling. Is it, you can't actually say who's...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Going to win with any confidence. Who's going to win?
It is
like last year, you could probably have said, you know what, the Texas Rangers, they're just better.
Right.
And the Diamondbacks are on a heater that's bound to burn out. And it's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So this one doesn't, you can't predict that in any way, shape, or fashion.
Well, it's also very cool, and I know it's tough for us to see this because it's our town, it's the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
This is the first time. I love baseball. I've told you that. It's my favorite sport. Mm-hmm. And I will watch every World Series, as unappealing as it is. Like, last year's a great example. We didn't talk about it on the air because most people didn't care about Diamondbacks against the Rangers.
Yep.
But I watched it. I'm a baseball fan. Like, of course I care. I don't have to convince anybody that this is a cool World Series. In 2023, had to do it.
Yeah.
Even in 2022, well, it's Astros-Philly, had to do it. In 2021, Astros, kind of had to do it.
Right.
This is the first time where you don't have to convince anybody how cool this World Series is. I'll give Yankee fans this, because I know this bothers Dodger fans. I know what gets to these people, and I want you to have as much information as humanly possible as you battle them. Okay, first of all, one thing that really bothers them is when you remind them that Ohtani's looking for his bookie. Okay, so when you're at Yankee Stadium next week, if you want to join in with me and my fellow Met fans, we tried it last week, didn't really work. Where's your bookie chance? More than welcome. We will share it with you.
How about did you bet Weaver?
What? I don't understand. Oh, because you're mocking me.
No, you're mocking Ohtani.
Oh, yeah.
Coming into the game, did you bet Weaver?
Yeah.
So that we have a conspiracy that he throws the World Series.
Too convoluted.
It's very deep.
I mean, that's too deep. I think where's your bookie is very self-explanatory. But here's the real thing that bothers them. When was the last time the L.A. Dodgers won a World Series? You guys know the answer?
COVID. 2020.
Yeah. Disney World Championship. I know we only use that for the Lakers, but it's a fake title.
Yeah.
I mean, Dodger fans know that. Mm. They won a fake championship. Like, their World Series that they're so proud of that they recently won is Fugazi.
So should we chant, Dr. Fauci?
No.
That one was worse than
I'm taking swings here, guys.
Worse than the other one.
I wouldn't chant anything about COVID. I would just remind them they're looking to win their first real championship since 1988. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, 2020 is and the Dodgers have a really cool thing with Fugazi titles, because the only other title that's more Fugazi than 2020 is 1981. What a horse bleep that year that was.
Why is that one Fugazi?
So there was a baseball strike, and they missed half the season, and what they decided to do, Tiki, I'm not even kidding you. I'm not going to lie to you. They decided, so we stopped the season? Y'all made the playoffs. Congratulations. Now we're going to start a second season, and you guys will make the playoffs. So technically, the team with the best record in the National League, the Cincinnati Reds, did not make the playoffs that year because they didn't win either the first half or the second half. But if you combine their record, they had the best record in the National League. Huh. Fugazi!
Right, so who played in the playoffs?
The Dodgers beat the Yankees in 1981. Fugazi. Fugazi. Not real championship. So
the first half winner didn't matter?
No, it did. They already made the playoffs. Then you had to win the second half to make the playoffs. Then they would face each other.
But what happened if two different people won?
Then they would face each other. If the same team won, there'd be a bye. It was so stupid. Can you imagine trying that in 2023?
Oh, I got it.
That's the Atlantic League format.
I agree.
Right, so the Dodgers played the Cincinnati?
No, the Dodgers played the Expos? I want to say.
So the Expos won the second half?
Yeah, or no, the Dodgers played the Astros. And then the Expo. I honestly don't remember,
right.
But that's not the point. The point is it was a Fugazi championship. And so the LA Dodger fans, they know this deep down. It bothers them. Fugazi title in 81, Fugazi title in 2020. So they're trying to win a real championship.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to help the Yankee fans out on the various things that you can do to stick it to them. Now, before we get back to your calls, I've been bubbling with this. I'm so proud of myself. I have a conspiracy theory. And it's about the greatest head coach of all time, Bill Belichick.
Okay. Now, this is based on some of the things he's been saying. Some of the, I don't know, off the wall, very critical things of teams that he's now asked to opine upon.
So, Bill Belichick is now an analyst now. And I totally respect that. I don't have any issue with him being an analyst. You had to make that adjustment. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, now I'm just going to talk about sports. And I think that's great. Bill Belichick has called out Gerard Mayo so harshly recently. And what I've noticed in that, because Jared Mayo called his players out for being soft.
Yes.
And so Bill took major umbrage to that, almost took it personal, and talked about what he accomplished with those players.
Yeah, same team.
With the same team.
Same players, not the same team, obviously.
And put a lot of that on Gerard Mayo. And I remember hearing this and saying, that's like, it's okay to criticize Gerard Mayo, by the way. I thought it was like, whoa. You want your job back, bro. Like, what's going on here? And so my first reaction was, he's bitter about losing his job. And that makes sense. And everybody would be like, okay, great, Evan. What human wouldn't be bitter about losing their job? And then I realized what was happening. What was happening is that public perception against Gerard Mayo has gone so bad to the point where there are reports out of Boston he may lose his job before the season is even over, which is insane to me. That's number one. Number two. Bill talks nothing but glowingly about Drake May. Loves him. That's number two. Number three, you know what team has the most cap space in the NFL next year?
Let me guess. It's the New England Patriots.
It's the New England Patriots. Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick are hoodwinking all of us. Bill Belichick.
In what way?
He didn't get fired. He's not retiring. He didn't just not take another job because he couldn't get one. He's sitting out a year, letting the Patriots suck again, letting Gerard Mayo get run out of town, so that every Patriot fan who turned on Bill says, oh, maybe he wasn't so bad. Huh. So when he returns as the head coach of the Patriots, and he will, he's the conquering hero. And one last thing before you guys comment. It's been done before. It's been done in Boston before. Who? See Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox. Oh, yeah, we have to remove him because of the cheating scandal. Get, to quote Sean, your sister's ass.
Right, but he came back. And,
he
came back, and they weren't ready to be, I don't know, the next great thing or to compete for the playoffs.
Yes, he came back. They went to the ALCS that year. True story. That was the year they beat the Yankees, and they got to the ALCS.
Wow.
And Alex Cora's back, and, you know, it's mostly good. I know they had a bad year this year.
Now, the only way I would say that that's not a possibility is because somebody else is going to really want Bill Belichick. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think there could be a lot of firings this year. So somebody else is going to want Bill Belichick. Do you think Bill Belichick is willing to go back to a situation that's worse than one of the other opportunities that could arise?
I think sometimes you don't want to leave your lover. And the New England Patriots were his lover. And I'll tell you something else that Bill has done.
Not anymore.
They're still sleeping together. The point.
She's still 25.
Oh, we're talking about that lover?
He ain't leaving her.
There's something going on between Bill and the Patriots. But the other thing Bill's doing, which bothered me at first, and I realized, I got you, Gamebo. What does he do every time he's on with Pat McAfee? He takes shots at the Jets.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's still a Patriot.
He's going back, bro. It's obvious before all of us. He's getting Gerard Mayo fired. He loves Drake May. He loves the players. The stupid idiots in Boston are like, we love you, Bill. We miss you, Bill. We miss you, Bill. And by the way, they're not stupid idiots for thinking that. Bill's a great coach.
Right.
But he's got them, even those who turned on him, to saying, we miss Bill.
Right.
It's like the George W. Bush battery put up after Obama got elected. He waved. He's like, you miss me now? You miss me now gimmick.
I don't know if you miss Bill. I think you miss the success that Bill had.
And they think he can bring it back.
Well, I mean, we saw him also lose it without Tom Brady, without that veteran leader, that voice in the locker room or voice as the guy, miming or piping regurgitating what he's saying. You lose it. Then all of a sudden you got somebody who's just trying to figure his own way out of his own way, right, at quarterback, and you stink. So the only way that this works is if Drake May turns into a great leader for the New England Patriots. Otherwise, he's going to have the same situation that he was stuck in.
I don't know if it's going to work. I'm just telling you, this is what's going on. And I think it's very obvious, and I'm going to be the one to bring it to light to everybody. And hopefully, you guys say you're right.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay, so you don't buy it.
No, I think it's a great conspiracy theory.
Thank you, Tommy.
But let's be honest what happened here. So, obviously, the Mets got eliminated Sunday night. So, Evan hasn't had a lot of sports to watch this week. So, him and his wife have been binge-watching The Real Housewives of New Jersey. This sounds like a storyline from season 6. Teak, I forgot what season you were on. But this is like straight out of reality TV. You think this is like that they came up with this. The thing with conspiracy theories is how many people have to be involved with this?
Just two.
No.
Bob and Bill.
How about Bill's current employer? Wouldn't they have to know about this?
Nah, he has a clause to go head coach. They
interesting.
Don't need to know.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, they don't need to know that, bro. It's Bob and Bill. It's two very powerful, really Bob smart
and
people.
And by the way, the more people that knew, potentially knew, because I don't know if I'd buy this, the more people that potentially knew, the more likely we would be to hear it.
Of course.
Yeah. So if they really want to execute this, them two are the only two that can.
In fact, Bill's lover doesn't even know either.
So
it's Bob and Bill.
Drake May doesn't know?
Has no idea. Mm. He hears Bill complimenting him, which Bill has done when he's been on Pat McAfee and the other broadcasts that he does. He does
Manning
a lot of stuff.
Casts and stuff.
Yeah, like, I think that this is a Bob and Bill show. And I think that Bob Kraft got it from the Red Sox. I think he saw with Alex Cora and said, we need to let this breathe for a year.
Even if this wasn't the original plan, I think this is actually genius by Evan.
Right. Even if they're not thinking about it, they should do this?
Well, I think what happened is maybe when they hired Mayo and let Bill walk, maybe that wasn't the original plan for a year. Then they got together at a Netflix roast behind the scenes with a couple drinks. They started reminiscing, and now the season has started off bad, and I think that Robert Kraft and Bill have been talking, and I think they know the fence is there. But it leads to a real big issue ahead this weekend.
Which is?
The Jets need to lose a game to save the franchise moving forward. Because the last thing the New York Jets need is to force the firing of Gerard Mayo and have a combo of Bill Belichick and Drake May rubbing their nose in it,
Sean,
with the remnants of Aaron Rodgers.
Sean, I want to teach you something.
Molu has already started something. Stop.
I appreciate you taking my conspiracy and trying to use it against me. I do respect that. I am so desperate. We are so desperate as Jet fans that we are so week to week with this freaking franchise that I cannot think about Bill. I cannot think about Drake May. I can't think about Bill Belichick's lover. I can't think about any of that stuff. All I can think about is getting a win on Sunday, because this franchise and this stomach, the stomach I have connected to my body, needs a victory more than anything. I thought I was going to get one last night in Atlanta. Didn't happen. I thought I was going to get one in Los Angeles on Sunday night. Didn't happen. I thought the Jets were going to give it to me on Sunday night in the great swing state of Pennsylvania. So I get it. All Gerard Mayo could get fired, and then I'll be right, and Bill's back, and now he's going to haunt my dreams. You know who haunts my dreams more than Bill Belichick?
Aaron Rodgers.
New York Jets. Oh. I just need a win. So you guys buy it. Thank you. That's what I've gotten out of this.
You know what? I think I realize what happened. We needed the Mets to be eliminated to get fresh-brained Evan.
Yeah. Fresh-brained Evan is back.
Evan's back with good takes.
Start thinking again, Evan, please.
That's a good one, though, man. Entire city of Boston, let me just say this to you guys, because I really don't have much ill will towards you. I have a strong rooting interest in your basketball team right now for some selfish reasons. You're welcome. You're welcome. So now you've got that. Bill's coming back. Don't worry. You're welcome for that. Let's go to Ian in Manalapan, New Jersey. What's up, Ian?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure. What's up?
All right. So I just want you guys to hear me out for a moment, because I have two reasons why the Giants should absolutely, positively keep
Brian Daboll and Joe Shane.
Okay.
I think those two guys perfect for the organization. They're perfect for the job. My reason number one is I think that the Giants are going to finish where the picks are going to be 6-10. I don't think they're as bad that they're going to be 1-5. I think it's going to be 6-10.
Right.
So I think the Jacksonville and the Carolina are probably going to have the one picks between 1 and 3 because they're both very bad. And Joe Shane is a wheeler and dealer. He trades. He's very creative. He's young. And I can't imagine those two teams drafting a quarterback after, Jacksonville just signed their quarterback to a year deal worth millions of dollars, and Carolina giving up so quick. But, again, anything can happen. But I think Joe Shane is the guy to wheeling dealing to create a package to get a top pick.
Well, a couple of things. Carolina's going to draft a quarterback.
No doubt about it.
They sat Bryce Young. They're forced to go back to him now, unfortunately, because Andy Dalton was in a car accident.
Right,
I think there's some concerns about him physically.
Right. Well, he hurt his thumb, I believe, and his throwing hand. Family's okay, because it was family in the car.
Yeah, thank God everybody's okay.
Thankfully, everybody's okay, but he's likely... He might be up, but I doubt he's going to be playing. So they're just going to go with Bryce Young. But you know that Dave Canales, who did really good things up in Seattle as a quarterback coach with Geno, who then went to Tampa, helped Baker Mayfield get another new contract. Like, he wants his guy. He wants his own guy.
Yeah.
It's very similar to what we're talking about in a different different timeline, obviously, with the Giants. When you become a new head coach, if you know the guy that's there is not your future, you have to go get your
100%.
Own guy. And he's already proven by benching him that Bryce Young is not the future.
I did something so depressing. I've already done this in basketball, which I expected. Mm-hmm. I've not done this on football yet, and I just did it for the first time. I went to Tankathon. I used to live on Tankathon.
Yeah.
I'm going to live on Tankathon this year, but I've gone to football Tankathon for the first time just to remind myself, all right, season ends today. What's the draft order? New England Patriots, number one. They won't take a quarterback. I think they still believe in Drake May.
Of course.
Carolina, quarterback.
Definitely.
Cleveland, quarterback.
Yep.
Tennessee, quarterback. Oh, my God. The team that's fifth is the Jets.
Uh-huh.
Quarterback! New Orleans.
God, are there five quarterbacks?
No, but my point is they would want a quarterback. Let me rephrase that differently. These are teams that wouldn't say we don't need a quarterback.
Right.
And so the point our last caller is making is flawed. Almost everybody is going to want a quarterback if they're selecting ahead.
And I look at all of these teams. Jacksonville won't. New Orleans probably won't either.
Disagree about New Orleans.
You
think they're going to want a quarterback?
Maybe.
But they believe in Spencer Rattler all of a sudden?
Well, no. I mean,
Derek Carr. Stop. They lined up his contract like Daniel Jones did.
No, you're right. So probably they'll need a quarterback too. Jacksonville will not. Las Vegas, absolutely. Giants, yes. Miami, no, unless Tua gets hurt again. I don't know, maybe. The Rams, yes, because they're already trying to trade Matthew Stafford.
Basically every team but the Patriots.
Every team until you get to like 15 or 13.
Yeah, they're going to be teams that are going to want quarterbacks. That's just the reality. Let's go to Scott in Staten Island. How are you, Scott?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Tiki, big fan. Love watching you, brother.
Appreciate it.
Listen, I got two things I'd like to ask. One would be... It really bugs me like when I hear, whoever sportscast is or whoever it be about Ohtani being the greatest thing known to mankind ever in baseball. You look him up, he's literally only got two great seasons, and after that, it's really nothing. I mean, he's not even, they say he's the greatest player in the world. He's not even the greatest player in the league.
Scott, you're right.
No, hold on.
Yeah, but you're right, you're dismissing, but you're dismissing something. You're dismissing
something. What am I dismissing?
I agree with you. Okay, watch this. I'm not cutting you off, because we could have a longer discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be fair about this. So this season, you're 1,000% right. I don't even think he's the best player in the series. Aaron Judge had a better year than Shohei Ohtani in every way. When Shohei Ohtani pitches, which he is not doing this season, he is something we've never seen before. So that's where those kinds of compliments come from.
Well, I mean, I understand that.
That's all I'm saying.
But I'm not even saying about you. I'm not just saying you, not at all. I'm saying whoever is out there saying all this stuff.
No, but that's why that stuff is said. Like, this season, I am totally with you, and I've made that point a lot. He's a DH. He's a really good hitter, but I think Aaron Judge is better. I think Juan Soto's right. I'm totally with you.
in years where he pitches as well, that's where I think the compliments are fair, because he's something nobody's ever seen, because it's never existed. And that's unique, and that does deserve its praise, just not this year, because he doesn't do it this year.
Right. Right, right. I understand. Okay, but go. I also want to ask you, I want to ask you guys this as well. What do you think about Soto with a new contract with the Yankees and getting a deferred contract? This way, maybe they could sign other players too.
Yeah,
it's up to the player.
Yankees ever done?
Have they deferred?
Yeah,
not to the level that the Dodgers did with Ohtani. I'm sure they've done deferrals. Like, I know the Nationals did a ton of deferrals with a lot of their guys from like 18, 19, 20 and all that. That's up to the player. Like, look, Shohei Ohtani was not asked to defer that money. That's a decision he made.
Right.
So
he wanted it to be deferred so he could play for a winner.
That's what he says, yes.
Yes.
And that's
and by the way, the owners of the it's a private equity group. So
right.
Like, he's not worried about them getting his money.
Yeah, you know what they're also thinking? The same thing I'm thinking. We may all be dead in 10 years.
I mean, again, with the death second time this week?
So, what do you want me to tell you?
Why does it come back to world dying soon?
Not the world. Well, yeah, the entire world.
Stop watching Planet of the Apes. Wow. This is where you get this stuff from.
But is it really that crazy?
We are 24 hours from a World Series game, Yankees-Dodgers, and you're talking about annihilation of the planet?
That's why they better win it, because you may not get another shot. That's why I was so upset about the Mets. I mean, I give it another shot here.
You know what? Evan, you bring up a good point. We could all be dead in 10 years. So if you want to get in the World Series, listen here tomorrow for your chance to win tickets to the World Series.
That's great advice by Sean Morash. Because the money, you can't just throw away. You may need that in a couple of weeks, you know? Mm. But free tickets from us, from this radio station?
That's an experience that you'll never forget.
Oh, my God. And he's right. So all day tomorrow. I love you, Sean. All day tomorrow. Morning guys have it. Midday guys have it. We got it. We have it twice, apparently. You will have your chance to win Yankees World Series tickets right here on WFAN. I can't wait. You can't wait. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Half past four. My grandfather used to say that. Half past two, sonny. Half past four here on The Fan. Evan and Tiki on this World Series Eve. We'll get back to the World Series talk. We'll also examine what Devontae Adams had to say. Because to me, it's fascinating how a guy who's been here for 35 seconds was able to kind of understand what's going on with the New York Jets and then address it in a very forceful way. We'll take a listen to what he had to say and go through it. That's coming up in a few minutes, but it is Thursday at 4:30, and you know what that means. It's time for our weekly check-in with Bad Tiki. And Bad Tiki is, of course, brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com. And come get some. Reminder, very important, Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to express critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, it's been a whole week. I've missed you. Welcome back.
Oh my gosh, Evan, what an action-packed week. I have so much catching up to do with you guys. I've actually been looking forward to talking to you worthless freaks for once. Bad Tiki is back, baby!
Okay, Bad Tiki. And what's on your mind?
That's a really great question, regular Tiki. First off, there are some congratulations in order. Bear with me. We have a long list here. Congratulations to the Yankees on reaching the World Series. Proud of you boys. Everyone except Clay Holmes really deserves it. Big congrats to the champs. The New York Liberty delivered a championship to our amazing city. I was at the parade earlier today. I made eye contact with Jonquil Jones. She acted like she didn't see me, but I know she did. Bad Tiki sees you, Jonquil. Congrats to Brian DeBole and Joe Shane. You guys didn't get fired. That's cool, I guess. Congratulations to the Seven Line and Mets fans for planning a parade for coming in fourth place and not winning the league championship. I hope there is lots of confetti and people who look like Evan Roberts standing in the parking lot to clap for grown men who lost a baseball game. So happy for you guys.
I mean, Bad Tiki, I think you're forgetting a pretty significant congrats, maybe something Hall of Fame related, you know, something to do with somebody you're pretty close with.
I was getting to that Scarf Vader. Congrats to our very own Hall of Fame candidate and inductee Craig Carton on being inducted into the New York State Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame. What a huge honor. A proud moment for WFAN. Bad Tiki may have shed a tear or two. Not for Craig, but when I saw Evan's outfit, it was so embarrassing. I cried a little. A beautiful moment. Yesterday, Evan Roberts looked like he wandered away from a Little Orphan Annie casting call. The sun will come out tomorrow, and so will Evan, dressed like he works in a sweatshop in the 1850s.
Okay, Ben Tiki, thanks for all that. We're talking about the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, right. Congrats to Eli Manning. I always knew your time would come, Eli. From day one, you were dripping in leadership quality. I always said when Eli Manning walks into a room, everyone instantly knows who is in charge. It's that kind of alpha male team leader mentality that led to his Hall of Fame worthy career. Anyone who couldn't see Eli was destined for greatness right from his first snap in the league, either never played or knows nothing about the game. Bad Tiki loves Eli. Bad Tiki believes in Eli.
Okay. I see what you're doing here, Bad Tiki. I love Eli, too. By the way, his first snap of the game of his career was a handoff to me that went 75 yards for a touchdown.
But that's not what we're talking about.
Okay, fine. You guys got me. I have to give credit where it's due. After an iconic career rushing the football and being a genuine great human being off the field, one of our very own Tiki's being considered for the Hall of Fame where he rightfully belongs. Congratulations to Sean Alexander.
What?
Not many know this, but Sean Alexander has been one of my 43,000 Tiki's since day one. Just look at that prototypical Tiki face. We are very proud of you, Sean. We wish you nothing but the best as you approach your rightful place in Canton, Ohio. Bad Tiki loves you, Sean. Alexander, beers on me. Who got the beers? Bad Tiki got the beers, Shawnee.
Bad Tiki, that's enough. You can't come on here and congratulate everyone except our guy, my partner, Tiki Barber. Because of his amazing career, he's one step away from being in the freaking Hall of Fame. Would it kill you to say something nice? And by the way, I'll give the info. You don't worry about this. He's got more rushing yards, about 4,000 more receiving yards than Sean Alexander. Show some respect, Bad Tiki.
Evan, how dare you? First of all, you never use a Tiki to belittle the achievements of another Tiki. Yes, Tiki Barber might be the original Tiki, but that doesn't mean myself. Sean Alexander, Rondé Barber, or Vin Diesel are less important than regular Tiki. Congrats, regular Tiki. You did a good job at playing football while being less tall than me. Congrats. Maybe you will get a stupid statue of our dumb face somewhere in Gross, Ohio. Very happy for you, bro. Beer's on you.
Thanks, I guess. Bad Tiki, what else is going on, man? All's good this weekend?
What an excellent, smart question. Regular, original Tiki. Since I last spoke to you guys, I've done some soul searching. I've focused in on the vibes around me, and I've decided I need to focus on having the right vibes around at all times. There have been simply too many good vibes, and this needs to be corrected pronto. There was only one solution for this. My over 46,000 Tikis are proud to introduce Negative Tommy.
Hey, losers, I knew the Mets would lose. I never believed in them. The Yankees are going to sign Pete Alonso, and he's going to win Infinity World Series rings. Sean Marash is going to make me his board op for his entire life, and I'll have to live in his Yankee shadow while he collects all the World Series rings, and I bring him bowls of chili for the next 14 years. The Mets will never sniff the postseason again. I won't lead us. No one will lead us. We are doomed forever. Positive Tommy, this is your fault.
I've ever heard enough, Bad Tiki, okay? The power of positivity is stronger than ever. My positivity posse is stronger than ever. This will not work.
Zip it, you cheerful chihuahua. Grimace was an inside job. Hawk to a girl is a psyop. It was all meant to crush us from within. The rally pumpkin? The Mets turned into a damn pumpkin. How could you do this to us, Positive Tommy? You will pay for what you've done. Dudes, dogs, and damage. Did you see the Knicks get manhandled by the Celtics? The magic is gone. We are doomed. I am Negative Tommy. I'm generationally talentless. All my teams lose, and it's all my fault. I can't take it anymore. Bad Tiki, why did you create me? Why can't I stop yelling? Marash needs another chili bowl refill. I'll be right back with your warm chili bowl, sir. I'm so sorry.
Negative Tommy, you're hilarious. Isn't he incredible? He's so negative and realistic about everything in life and the Mets. And he's not as ugly as Positive Tommy. Well, guys, I have to go now. I'm campaigning for Eddie George to get into the Hall of Fame all afternoon. Not that he needs any of my help. He's a shoo-in. Well, I have a long day ahead of me. I hate you guys. Wish me luck. Bye, losers. Yankees in four. Bad Tiki, out.
Oh, my God, I'm dead.
I'm dead.
Oh, Negative Tommy was amazing.
Negative Tommy killed me.
Like, Negative Tommy may have to kill Bad Tiki. I think we need weekly with Negative Tommy.
Right. Oh, my God.
Why can't I stop talking?
I've got real tears on my eyes. Like, real physical tears on my eyes.
I think I heard a snort during Negative Tommy.
I just didn't. First of all, I just didn't see it coming. Like, Bad Tiki, not that I see a lot of it coming, but I could tell early on, all right, he's going to take shots at okay.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, okay.
My brother from another mother, Sean right. Alexander, we actually do look alike. And then,
Vin Diesel, too, I could kind of say. And it was funny, and the negative Tommy just slapped me across the face. That was unbelievable. Thank you, Bad Tiki. Every Thursday at 4:30, I do want to remind you, Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with, or I can't read the whole thing, I'm sorry.
You know the deal.
You all know the deal.
I have my own thoughts and opinions. Bad Tiki is AI.
Yeah, it's not him is the point. Bad Tiki brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com, and come get some. All right, let me get to this Davante Adams thing, because I found this fascinating. So Davante Adams gets traded over here. And I think all of us were like, okay, I mean, of course. How
right.
can you not trade
Made
for
sense.
This?
We've been talking about it for weeks.
No doubt. And I was for it, and I even argued it's not too late. There's mm-hmm. still time in the season. And Davante Adams wasn't a problem in the game against Pittsburgh, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realize is the impact he was already going to have in that locker room. Because he made an impassioned speech to the team right away after that game, and then was open and honest in talking about it. So we have this clip. This is from Devontae's press conference the other day, in which he explained everything. And it's a longer clip, so I want everybody to relax, take a listen. It'll give my voice a rest, that's for damn sure. But it's also really interesting, and I'm fascinated to what you think about all this. Here's Davante Adams explaining, A, why he felt comfortable to give an impassioned speech, what it was about, and what worried him. So I present to you, we present to you, New York Jets wide receiver Davante Adams.
It's not really my personality to see something that's not right and to just let it go on, regardless of whether it's from the coaches, players, you know, management, support staff, whoever. So obviously it was a lack of energy and urgency out there, and it was apparent, especially coming from. You know, I've played on teams that have that winning culture, and just basically I just took a moment to let them know, like, I had reservations about speaking up too early and being too vocal too early, but I felt like, you know, in my mind I said F that, because I need to, you know, we don't have time, and I got to do whatever I got to do to help this team move forward. And lacking energy, I mean, that's a prerequisite to be able to go out there and have a good year or have a good play or, you know, whatever it is. So in my mind, it was something that I wouldn't have been able to sleep if I didn't speak up on it. And, you know, I got a lot of good feedback, which it wasn't a big rah-rah thing. It was just more, you know, to bring awareness to it, because a lot of these guys in here haven't been anywhere else where they've won and, you know, have had that urgency that it takes in order to be a good team. So, you know, this team being so talented on the, you know, roster-wise, it's just a waste to have everybody out there and, you know, to have a dead sideline like that. Breece catch a ball and go 60, and we can't feed off none of the energy, and those type of plays are supposed to be contagious for the rest of the team. So that's basically what I saw and what I told them. It's a thing. You know, I'm not here to be the savior. Everybody was looking, you know, the whole world. Trump was at the game. I don't know if that's because of me or not, but, I mean, everybody's sitting here expecting it to be, you know, me go out there and put up 200 yards and three tugs, but, you know, that's a storybook ending to it, and obviously that would have been amazing if that happened, but I'm here to help shift this culture more than anything. You know, I can go out there and make the plays that I can make and try to, you know, influence guys, you know, as much as I can, but I'm trying to you know, enforce a winning mindset on these guys. And if you don't have, you know, the energy, which is the least you got to have, I mean, you only get 17 games. We can talk like that's a lot of games or not, but, you know, I also said to them, this ain't baseball. We got a few opportunities to come out here, show what we work on, all the crazy blood, sweat, and tears we put into this, and, you know, to have only 17 ops and to come out flat like that and essentially give away a game. That's unacceptable. So, you know, just trying to bring a different type of swag and culture in here.
Now, there's a lot there.
That's a really lot.
That's a lot there. What's your reaction to all that?
My initial thought, I just said this to Sean on Talkback. It sounds like Aaron Rodgers. Just the way that you asked him, that was one question.
Yeah.
That wasn't like how most athletes speak when asked a question about something even they've done.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, you know, I just had to take the opportunity to speak my mind, and I thought they took it well. And, you know, we look forward to putting a good week of practice and going back to work and getting a win next week. He talked for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, and by the way, the reason we didn't cut it is there was nowhere to cut it.
Right.
Like, I thought you had to hear the entire thing because there's so much there.
Right. Oh, my God.
You know who talks like that?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are best friends.
I know, but he's giving you, like, the full context of everything he was thinking when he was saying, and I appreciate that because, by the way, he's right.
Now, I don't know how it was received, but what he says is exactly correct. You only have so many times to get it right, and if you let too much time go by, trust me, you're dead. You're going to be regretting it. You're going to be talking about we should be there while Los Angeles Chargers in the playoffs. Can you believe that sorry team is in the playoffs and we're not? Like, that's what happens when you don't get it right. And correct it. So he's speaking the truth. But the fact that it took him coming in to do it is really what's concerning to me.
Very concerning.
Like,
that's the number one thing that jumped out at me.
Right?
I appreciate, what you said, that he talked and explained everything. Like, it didn't take 5 questions to get everything out of him. He's like, I'll tell you everything.
That's gold.
I'll break it all down for you. But it is crazy to me. And tell me if this is normal and I should calm down. That this football team, who came into the game at 2-4 on a 3-game losing streak, lacked urgency. They lacked energy. Mm. They had a dead sideline and couldn't feed off the energy of a big Breece Hall play.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know. It tells you that there's apathy. And I don't think that when you're a young team, they're not the youngest, but they're one of the younger teams.
The 11th youngest.
Right. So they're one of the younger teams. And think about the guys that are older, which, I mean, Aaron Rodgers probably drives that up how many years because he's 40. Like, they're a relatively young team, and to not get jazzed up when a guy's breaking one off and going all, you know, across the field and down the sideline, like, you should be jumping up and running down there with them.
How's that possible?
I don't know.
Are they dead man walking then?
I can't say it's dead man walking, but it tells you about the culture that needs to be changed. And I don't think Devontae Adams is that guy to change that culture, because he's not, think about Tyreek Hill. The only reason I'm saying that is because we're watching some NFL thing and he's on TV right now. Tyreek Hill is like this frenetic energy. Like, when you hear him talk, you watch him play, it's just like constant movement, and like there's just energy that comes with him. Devontae Adams isn't that guy. He's a meticulous grinder who's going to go do his job the right way every single time he's out on the field. But he's relatively quiet.
Right.
Right? He's not loud and bombastic. And so I don't know if there's enough of those, or not even enough. There's a guy that's like that. There's like a emotional catalyst on this team. And I think this might be the danger of an Aaron Rodgers. So when you have an Aaron Rodgers on your team, he walks into that locker room, even if he's done nothing for this team, he is the alpha. Like, he's the guy. If there's something going on, ask Aaron, talk to Aaron, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Aaron's got a personality that's very, like subdued. And so if you try to mime him when you need the antithesis of that on game day, then you're kind of stuck.
Mm.
Like, why is the energy not down? Because everybody's trying to be like Aaron.
Whose energy is naturally very calm.
Right, calm.
R-E-L-A-X.
Just relax, guys.
Yeah.
Right, take it easy. But football necessarily needs some crazy you-know-whaters.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
And I think the best teams have a good balance of that.
And the Jets don't? Is Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson just too calm?
Breece Hall is not that guy.
No, I agree.
Garrett Wilson is not that guy.
So they got too many personalities.
So who is that?
Nobody. Tyler Conklin? I don't know.
No, Tyler's cool as hell.
Braylon Allen? I don't know.
I mean, maybe it's Braylon, but he's a rookie.
Alan Lazard's pretty calm, too.
So when I think about what Devontae Adams is saying, I think it's just the nature of the roster. It's like, so it's not really a bad thing, but it is a thing. If you're not getting excited and jacked up, then that might just be who you are.
Or you may be expecting doom.
Yeah.
Is that not a part of it?
I don't think that's the case. I think they're all expecting greatness.
Well, the question I'd have, and Devontae can't answer this because he's new, is what was the energy like when they made a big play against the Patriots on a Thursday night at MetLife Stadium? Was it different? Has the energy been sucked out of this team because of the fact they've been losing week after week after week?
Maybe. That could be the case.
No, that's scary if that's the case, because as much as I'll turn on a microphone and argue it's not too late, if the players think it's too late, then they're screwed.
Yeah, but it does suck being 2-4, now 2-5. The week he came in, obviously, they were 2-4. It sucks being 2-4.
Of course.
Because even though you're not out of it, you kind of feel like you're out of it. Now, they can turn this around, and there's still 10 games to go. Think about it. It's 10 games to go.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is with this? There's 10 games to go. Everything's right in front of them, right? Mm. The Aaron Boone line. They're putting themselves in a position where there's no margin for error.
Right. You're digging a hole, and eventually the edge of your shovel, which you're going to use to climb yourself out with, is not going to work.
Yeah, like, I'm never one to say. I hate saying a game is a must-win game. As important as a game is, I didn't call the game against Buffalo a must-win game. I said it's their most important game they played in a decade. But I hate must-win, because I think must-win should be saved for when it's literally a must-win.
Right.
Game 6, Mets-Dodgers was a must-win. You lose, you go home. The game on Sunday is as absolute close to a must-win as humanly possible without it mathematically being a must-win game when you're facing a bad, disheveled, messy football team and you're trying to save your season.
That got called out by their coach, which is either going to further put them in the hole or it's going to galvanize them. And so you have to match whatever energy they come with. Or actually, you have to exceed whatever energy they come with.
You better, because you should be even more desperate.
No, you
are. There's expectations for your team.
Because you aren't supposed to be bad.
Exactly.
The Pats are supposed to be bad.
Exactly.
New head coach, starting a journeyman, and Jacoby Brissett. You bench him, and now you're starting a rookie? Like, they're supposed to be bad.
They better kick their ass. I think, you know, I never say this. I'm usually... And I said this when they played the Patriots. I don't care what the final score is, 10-9, 6-3, just win the game.
Yeah.
And while end of the day, just get me a win, they got to kick the Patriots' ass. They got to play with a swagger.
Well, aesthetics, unfortunately, has to matter.
This is the only time, in my opinion, it does.
Yeah.
Because of the state they're in. But that whole Devontae Adams thing was fascinating, and I appreciate that he felt comfortable doing that, but also deeply concerning that the Jets are in that position. Now, one other Jet thing I'm very curious about, because... I'm not ready to crush the guy yet, but maybe you are. Hassan Reddick is now a Jet. He's been at camp for days, and every day is refusing to talk to the media, which also means he's refusing to talk to us.
Right.
Now, maybe he's doing so because he doesn't know how to explain what the hell just happened, which I get. Maybe Hassan Reddick doesn't have an answer when he's naturally asked, "Why'd you do that, bro?" And he doesn't have a good answer. And if that's the case, I'd say someone's got to help him. But do you have an issue with the fact that this guy is refusing to speak to anybody?
Of course. I mean, it's in your contract that you're obligated to speak to the media. So eventually he's going to have to speak to the media. I'll give him a week. I'll give him a week.
So
it bothers me that he's not doing it this week, but I'll give him a week. He's had a, traumatic. But it's been an interesting and very unique first month, 2 months of this season for him, because he just simply hasn't been here. I'll give him a week, but eventually he's got to talk to the media.
We need to
hear some things. And if he doesn't, it tells me one thing. You know how Marshawn Lynch used to say, "I'm just here so I don't get fined"? What he's telling us is, "I'm just here so I don't have to play here another year."
Oh, God. Oh, this is fantastic. This is why, I'm going to tell you, everything that we just talked about is why we enlisted Positive Tommy for the New York Jets. And while it's very difficult to, like, ask him to give me a positive sermon right now because A, negative. Tommy just came on the radio and made his debut and was so unbelievably funny.
Right.
And also, Tommy's in a tricky spot because he really wants me to go to commercial break, but I'm also about to give him mic time, so he's like, I don't know what to do here. But positive, Tommy, 30 seconds on why I should not want to never watch football again.
I think everything that Devontae Adams said there is part of the culture change that's happening in Florham Park, and sometimes it takes time. But as Coach Boone said in Remember the Titans, it's like Novocaine. Just give it time. It always works. Same thing with Positive Tommy. At first, when you hear Positive Tommy, you go, this is nuts. Mm. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, of course.
Just give it time. Just give it time. Be right. Patient here.
Right. But it's also like that, the girl that you said, when I have time, when I have time, when I have time, and eventually she's not there. And you remember that time you said you had had? Well, Bobby, he got your time.
This sounds just like my life.
I got you on that one.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.